Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom, and I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we were actually finishing up a series of about 25 recordings on what we call Sacred Purpose Trust, and there isn't any end to what we can say about that, because we all are living in a Sacred Purpose Trust. Because I point out that when God said, dress it and keep it, He was actually saying and creating a trust. He's giving us a trust. He's giving us this planet to have dominion over this planet, over the fishes, over the wildlife, and to dress it and keep it. That's the first commandment of God, the first rules of God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we're not doing a real good job of either dressing or keeping it. There's an awful lot of destruction of the creation going on, a lot of pollution. You know, we're adulterating our own foods and our own children with poisons and toxins. And that's a common theme of a lot of people today. I just heard from somebody who was telling me how there are several bills up to outlaw selling of whole milk in the United States. And there's also some bills up to alleviate the tyranny of people who actually want to buy whole milk. And that's, you know, we don't buy whole milk. We reproduce it. We have our own dairy cow. Not everybody can do that. But, you know, I have a granddaughter that if she doesn't get that whole milk, she'll break out with eczema till she has scabs on her skin. If she gets it, it just all goes away. And it's whole milk that makes the difference. Because when the cow dries up, here it comes again. Or if she goes away for a while and doesn't get the whole milk, here it comes again. As soon as she starts getting back on the what it is the fats. And when we're talking whole milk, we're talking about milk that's not homogenized either, because that's breaking down and adulterating the fats. And this is a reality. It can affect allergies, everything else. And then, of course, then we have GMOs, and then we have the toxic chemicals that are going around, and then damage to the environment with chemicals and chemical fertilizers and abuse of the ground. When a farmer abuses the ground, he eventually will go out of business. If he abuses his animals, he eventually goes out of business. But when the state is in control, everybody's going to end up going out of business, because if they make a mistake, and they're making lots of them. And so one of the things about this Sacred Purpose Trust is it's about people taking back their responsibilities, taking back dominion, not necessarily trying to rule over government, but taking back so much responsibility that the government doesn't have power over these critical decisions about where your food comes from and what you eat. And of course, a lot of people don't even make good decisions, even though they can get good food. They're eating junk food and everything else. And so they're not keeping their own bodies, much less dressing and keeping this planet. A lot of people say this planet's been cursed because of sin, but then the same people are telling you that Christ redeemed it. So the reality is this is our home. And if we don't do right by this one, don't expect a more righteous habitation. And the reality is, when Jesus was talking about that in the Mammon, we just put up an article on this. I had a pastor, and I refer to him as Pastor G, asked a question. When Jesus said, make yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. So most people don't understand what he's talking about. And he asked, did he mean that they, the apostles, were to receive offerings from the coin currency in use? Or does it mean to accept alms like mendicant orders? Well, actually, when I read this question, I've got a whole answer to this, but when I read this question, it's kind of even confusing there. the coins that were in use at that particular time, the general coinage that was in use at that time was gold and silver and copper and these base metals, which are actually commodity money. Now, there was a premium put on it because it was coined. And because most everybody had gone under forced taxation systems, including Herod's and Rome. Rome used to take care of all its charity by free will offerings, but now they had become more of a socialist nation, centralizing power first in the Senate, and then in the proconsul, and then eventually an emperor, which means commander in chief. And this was a shifting of society, and the nature of society became more decadent. And whereas money used to be in circulation because somebody who mined gold or silver produced it, now most of the coin that you wanted was government-issued coin, which was actually loaned into circulation by the emperors, had their picture on it. That's why it had their picture on it, because it was loaned into circulation. And you wanted that because that's what they would accept in the payment of taxes. So you'd have to go to somebody, if you had other kinds of coins or valuables, you would have to go to somebody else and say, well, I need some of those coins. And come along tax time, which was in the month of Adar, like in Judea, although there were taxes all year round, but those coins had paid a premium. So you were often paying more just to get the coin that you could pay the tax with. So the value wasn't really in the coin that you had to pay for. It was in the force and power of the government to compel you to make an offering to them. You see, like I said, Rome used to operate by free will offerings. All their social welfare, even their military, was militia. It was all done by free will offerings. They were a free society. And with that aspect or formula in society, they rose to the most powerful and prominent nation in the world of that time. Then they got away from that principle and they moved into decadence and decay. Judea used to, long before Rome, used to be one of the most powerful. They didn't conquer a lot of people, but they beat all comers. And Romans, when they organized after throwing out the Tarquinian kings, they knew about Israel and organized much of their early republic along the lines of the Israeli republic, Israelite republic, I should say. That ancient republic, because we use the word republic today, and we're not really talking about republics, not free from things public, which is what it used to mean. We're talking indirect democracies, because we're still vesting a portion of that dominion God gave each of us and passed down in what they call the kingdom of God from generation to generation, as we see in both Old Testament and New Testament, in Isaiah. And in Daniel, they talk about generation to generation because each of us owns a piece of the rock, or did at one time. But we've often sold our interest in the piece of the rock, our dominion, our right to dominion, to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. So we have breached the trust that God put us in and turned our rights over to somebody else to make choices for us. And now we see the problems in the world developing, and we say, oh, this is terrible. Well, anyway, back to this idea. So those coins in currency at that time were actually, most of them were gold and silver and copper, which were actually base metals. There was an aspect to coinage that was talking about a value being in the coin, not because the coin had that value, but because somebody else would beat you if you didn't come up with a coin. And so it gave it more value. And that's an artificial value imposed on it. That's a fiat value imposed on what would normally be commodity money. And you want to stay away from that. And the only way to do that is to not make contracts, covenants with the people around about you and with the gods, many that are around about you, and those gods are ruling judges, because he's the ruling judges that are going to enforce those statutes of taxation. But unfortunately, we're telling people how this system works now when everybody has made these contracts. Your parents have made contracts. They've actually sold you into bondage in order to get a deduction. They registered you. And in a piece we got coming out soon on free education, I just posted something on my Facebook page that leads people to that particular article on free education. how that really works. Because they were bragging about in Norway, they will pay for anybody's education, higher education, even if they're foreigners, that they come to Norway. And people say, oh, that's great. I'm moving to Norway because it's free. Well, it's not free. And we point out in the article that every child born in Norway is born with $131,220 debt that they have to pay, which is, and they will never pay, and they will only pay the interest on that debt, $131,000 for newborn. That's a lot to come up with. And you can't pay a debt with a note anyway, and that's all that's in circulation because they don't have gold and silver in circulation. No present value, only notes, which is more debt. But they don't want you to pay the debt. They want you to pay the interest because then you remain enslaved to them. So every child born in Norway is that much in debt. Now, in the United States, we're not as bad. Your newborn infant, if you have a newborn infant in the house, you go up to them, you can tell them, you're $58,000 in debt. And you have to pay that back. Now, you don't have to start right away, but guess what? By the time you can start paying it back, it's going to be higher because I don't expect to see fiscal responsibility being exercised anywhere. So this is, but people say, oh, free education, free benefits. The government is giving this away for free. The only thing the government gives away for free is debt. That's what they, because debt is power. And that's why it says, owe no man anything in the Bible. That's what the Sabbath is all about. About earning what you got coming, the rest you got coming, the benefits you got coming, before you take them. But you're not doing that. And you're cursing your children, which we've talked about before in the Bible, in the New Testament. Talks about, you know, you taking bite out of one another and devouring one another. Well, that's how you do it. You run to Norway to get free benefits. And then almost immediately after that, I saw somebody else posting something on Denmark students. Explain how she will graduate savings instead of debt, it says. Danish students explains how she will graduate with savings instead of debt because the government pays tuition and provides students, he says here, $900 a month. A couple of years ago, it was only $500 a month, the opposite of America. And they have a very attractive blonde girl with a big smile on her face. She's going to graduate with savings instead of debt. No, she's not. I don't know about when she was born, but right now, if she gave birth to a baby, it would be almost $30,000 in debt, which is about 60% of the GDP of Norway. I mean, of Denmark, excuse me. And Denmark's pretty well off because Denmark is the center of trade. It's a big harbor. I mean, their big thing is transportation of goods, because they're so centrally located between places like Germany and France and the sea. And they make a lot of funds that way. But food is extremely expensive. You want to buy an iPhone in Denmark? $1,000. $1,000 just for your phone. You want to rent someplace? Probably can't find anything affordable. Most of the people ride bicycles. Because you can't afford cars, which is actually good, which is probably why they're some of the happiest people in Europe, is because they're out there on bicycles and getting those endorphins from riding their bikes. But the fact is, it's extremely expensive to live in Denmark because everything is taxed. And then your income tax, just for the average guy, starts at about 50%. They have higher salaries than a lot of other places, but like I said, okay, they give you, you're making $60,000 a year or $100,000 a year. Well, then you're going to get taxed $50,000 right off the bat. And that's, again, that's just your income tax. And then you got taxes on everything else, which is why everything else is so expensive. So she's not only going to graduate with debt, she was born with debt. She's going to die in debt. And so it is a complete lie. But you see all these people saying, oh, I'm moving to Denmark. Oh, it's a great place. They're giving away. It's just like we had this deal about somebody thought New Zealand was great because even if you're a foreigner, they'll fix your teeth for free. No, they won't. They will take money away from your neighbor to fix your teeth. Did you know that going to Harvard, if you didn't have the money to go to Harvard and you could make the grade, you could go to Harvard for free? That's the way it started. It was free. And you know who paid for that free education? People. They voluntarily did it. You know who financed most of the welfare in the United States? Most of the education in the United States until about 1900 was all financed by free will offerings, by people choosing to pay for not only for themselves, but for others. That's what made America great. You've gotten away from that. And the fact is, most of the Americans today don't want to go back to that. So you have to start gathering together with other people that do want to go back to that. You want to be able to buy whole milk. You want to educate their children themselves at their own expense. And if they need help, there'll be people there to help them. That's what you want to go back to. But most people don't want to go back to that. They just want more and more benefits. Now, if you want, now, the reason I say most people is so that you don't get the illusion that somehow that you're going to vote your way back to liberty. Didn't happen in, that's not what Christ was advising. He wasn't, campaigning for emperor. You know, the emperors were actually elected by an electoral college. The emperor of Rome, that's a 10-year term of office. They had to be reelected and they had to take an oath of office, or at least they were supposed to. Some of them lied. But of course, like that would never happen today. But anyway, history does repeat itself. So anyway, but we were talking about this mammon thing. And so understanding what mammon is really important if you want to understand what Jesus was talking about. And he was talking about the exact same problems that we face today. Because in our point in history, we're very close to their point in history. 30 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, except for the fact that today it's going to be worldwide. So we need to understand what he was talking about, because he was giving us a solution, a way to not be destroyed and a way to everlasting life. And a lot of people think, oh, just believe in Jesus, but they don't know what Jesus they're believing in. Somebody's made up an image of Jesus and they believe in that image. You know, a do-nothing religion, and then they think that's where their faith is at. But that's not the real Jesus, and that's why Jesus has this big, long speech about the fact that many would say they were coming in his name, but he's going to tell them, I don't even know you. You're workers of iniquity. But they believe. They believe in Jesus, but he says, get you from me, you workers of iniquity. But we believe in Jesus. No, I don't even know you. You don't even know me. And that's the problem. And of course, the people who are really fixated on that, you can't convince them that they don't really know Jesus. No matter how many facts you give them, and I can give them a lot of facts to prove that they're absolutely doing the opposite of what Jesus said. And once you begin, they begin to find out who Jesus really was and what he was really talking about and what it means to do something in his name according to his character, they don't like me. They would like to see me crucified. And the reality is they'd like to see Christ crucified. They don't really believe in the real Christ. They believe in the one they made up. But anyway, this mammon that he's talking about, and it only appears like 4 or 5 verses in the Bible. You know, scholars do not even agree about the etymology of the word. Gregory of Nyssa said that, at least he asserted that the word mammon was another name for Beelzebub. And there is an association with a ancient pagan god where they call him mammon, but it's kind of like the ancient god Nebo. Ancient god of Nebo, you know what it was the god of? Public education. That's right. The god of Nebo was the god of public education. And what that is the ruling judge of public education. They're the one that's going to tell you that you have to take common core. That's Nebo. And I have more to say on that too. If you heard recently, the father discovered that the book that his 14-year-old daughter was bringing home had graphic pornography and sexual content in it, and he was just absolutely appalled. His wife was totally dumbfounded and shocked, and he brought it up at a school board meeting, and that he was just on, you know, and read at least one of the passages, which the people on the radio can't read because there's laws against reading this stuff on the radio. But evidently they're handing them out to ninth graders in public school to read. And he began to make some comments about this, read that, and he unfortunately went over, just not by a lot, but over his 2 minute allotted period to speak. And when he sat down, he made a few more comments to one of the other parents who said something to him, because this is a hot issue, it's an emotional issue, and he said something. He wasn't screaming or shouting or anything, but he spoke for longer than 2 minutes. And so the school had the police come in and arrest him. And probably a big mistake, because I mean, he was very calm. The police officer was shaken when he was arresting and trying to cuff him, because the police officer didn't want to do it. But the school was immediately resorting to cuffing him by the order of these people up there, whoever it was at the school. He didn't just come off the street wanting to do this. And the guy is sitting there, and he's very well composed, and he even asked the cop why he was shaken, and the cop said he didn't want to do it, but he, you know, schooled this way they operate. You know, you went beyond the 2 minutes, we're going to have you arrested, parent of a child in our school. And I don't know if they knew it or not, you know, he had to stand up and tell where he lived and his address and everything, but I guess they didn't know that he was an attorney. And he's very at home around police officers and judges. So, you know, somebody may be in a lot of trouble here arresting an attorney like that. So I hope he gives them heck. But anyway, I thought it was also interesting that just after they had him hauled away and cuffed, his daughter stands up and she wants to speak. She only spoke for 46 seconds. You didn't want to get the 14-year-old arrested. But she was very to the point. And she began to speak. And, of course, they interrupted her immediately. And they asked her where she lives. And I says, well, I'm the man's daughter who you just had arrested. And he just gave his address. So it's in the record. And so she started to go on to speak. And they says, no, we want you to say the address for the record. And so she did. And she was very polite about it. She repeated the address, even though she said, well, that was my dad. You just had arrested him. She says, and basically she came down and she says, I don't trust you. I didn't trust you before, but I don't trust you anymore. I'm afraid to be around you. You just had my father arrested for speaking at a school board meeting. And I mean, he wasn't throwing chairs around. He wasn't cussing anybody. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't causing a big disturbance. He went over the two-minute limit, which happens all the time. I've only seen somebody get arrested once for going over the limit, and it was a 70-year-old man down in Humboldt County, and he was arrested for speaking about, why are so many children being put in jail? Why can't we find other solutions? He thought it was just outrageous. He didn't understand what's going on in Humboldt County. Still going on, by the way, because nobody stopped it. It's the same thing that was going on in Pennsylvania, where the judges were putting kids in jail because there's a real lot of money to be had with kids in jail. Because you can put them to work for free. You get paid by the government for every kid you got in jail, and you got to keep all those rooms full. And there was actually so much money in this that they were able to give millions of dollars back to the judges who were putting kids in jail for money. And they got caught. The guys in Humboldt, they don't get caught. You know, Humboldt, you know, sheriff, we've actually seen him holding people's eyes open who are handcuffed on the ground and spraying pepper spray in their eye while he holds it open. And he gets away with that. I mean, you don't want to live in Humboldt County. It's bad. And if you do, you want to know how to say yes, sir, no, sir. Because, you know, welcome to the plantation. So anyway, so he was arrested, and she said her piece, and she went out. But this is what's going on. That spirit that's in that school board there is exactly what you will need in order to truck people off to concentration camps. Because you'll be saying, well, they're taking me to a concentration camp and I didn't do anything wrong. And he says, I just need your address. They just took my father away in handcuffs and they're taking him away to the concentration camp. Yeah, please, can you state your name and address for the record before you speak? You know, this is the mentality. They have, and you know, it's actually amazing. If you, this book, I think it's called 19 Minutes, and it's horrible. I can't even tell you what it says in there. I mean, the graphic, it's supposedly, and the author of the book, which is really just totally titillating pornography, it says people all up in arms about the sex scenes, and it distracts from the real purpose of the book, which is about bullying and how bullying is so bad, and this leads to these shootings. This is what is about 19 minutes of shooting in a school. And we need to talk about that because that's so important to understand, right? This is the author, the genius author, who writes this book and the school's handing out to ninth graders. And, I mean, you can look it up and you can find out what it's about. But the reality is, I think arresting a father who's concerned about pornography given to his 14-year-old daughter because he goes over the 2-minute limit at the board meeting, having him handcuffed and taken out and charged, I think that's bullying. And then nobody caught that's bullying. They're insane. And you know what that means, don't you? If you send your kids to public school, you're insane. Get your kids out of school. Gather together. Get back to a sacred purpose trust of what is righteous. So anyway, we were talking about righteous mammon and unrighteous mammon. We haven't even got to that. But I'm setting a scene for you. It's not a pretty scene, but it's the scene you have because you haven't been doing what God said. So anyway, the scholars disagree about what it means. Some said that it's like another name for the devil. Even the word Satan actually means adversary. Adversary to what? Adversary to righteousness. Christ makes mentions of that you cannot serve both God and mammon. And he does that in Luke 16:13. But mostly it's mentioned in Matthew. Or no, actually mostly in Luke. But what is this mammon? Mammon actually comes from a word that means entrusted wealth. That's what it means. It really doesn't mean money. It does kind of today. It's kind of been used that way for a long time. And of course, because of things like these Federal Reserve systems which are in every country. I mean, ours was started by the Warburgs, who helped start the one for Adolf Hitler and went around the world starting it for everybody else because he was a good salesman. And it's plummeted everybody into debt. You don't own your land. You don't own yourselves. You don't own your children anymore. The state owns them. You don't even have a right to own land in your own name. You can have legal title, but legal title does not, by definition, does not include ownership. We have lots of shows and recordings and books, all free, on how that works. But everything you have, including yourselves, as of 1933, is now collateral for this debt that the governments all over the world, almost every government in the world, and we're only talking about one government that may not be in that debt, and there's two groups claiming to be a part of that government. One is telling the truth, and the other one is a liar. But anyway, I'm being a little cryptic about that. You don't get to know that unless you join the Living Network. But anyway, we need to go to a break. So we're going to take a little break here. And then we'll be back and we'll try to get hot and heavy to understand what mammon is. What if there's an unrighteous mammon, then what's a righteous mammon? And what the heck is a gastaphylicion? What is that? It's really important you know what that is. And we'll talk about that when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, well, welcome back. And I mentioned this strange, bizarre Greek word that is a gazophulakion. Anyway, it's better known as the treasury. It's actually the royal treasury. It's a particular word that means royal treasury, and it's mentioned a number of times in the Bible. And see, I think it's John where it says these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. What the heck is Jesus doing in the temple treasury, in the royal treasury? He's actually in it, and he's actually instructing they say the word taught there, but it's actually instructing the ministers in the royal treasury. Why is he doing that? Well, it should be absolutely obvious. He was hailed king by the people, by thousands of people. They didn't like it, but he was hailed as king, and so therefore he goes in, and he goes into the royal treasury, and he is teaching the people, instructing not just the general population, but the people in the treasury. He actually goes over and sits on the seats on the left side and watches what they're doing and what they're not doing, and then decides to fire the money changers, which only the king could do. So what he's actually doing is he is taking back the role of King David, who was the trustee of the kingdom of God as the king of Israel. He was the king. Thou sayest it, I am a king, but my kingdom's not of the world. No, the constitutional order and system of government of Pontius Pilate. But it was at hand. He was the king. He appointed that kingdom. He told the Pharisees, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and appoint it to another who's going to bear fruit, which all happened. You're waiting for the manifestation of the kingdom. You need to start doing what the king said. And that is, you have to start establishing the righteous mammon. So what's the unrighteous mammon? Again, this idea, there's another word that's translated treasury in the Bible. It's only translated treasury once in the New Testament. And the reason they call it treasury is you might find out what it really means if they translated or transliterated it like they did in the other place. And it was the word Corban. The word Corban was translated treasury in one part of the Bible in reference to the Pharisees, because Corban was your sacrifice, and that sacrifice was given to the priests of your society that you chose to give to them because they were free will offerings originally. They were free will offerings in the early church, and those sacrifices were used to take care of the people through the tabernacle. So the needy, in practice of pure religion, they took care of the needy, the widows and orphans, the daily ministration of the needy of their society. And this created emotional and spiritual and psychological bonds between the people. When you do this, and when you do it out of free will offerings and not by an exercising authority, your whole nation is blessed and even protected by God. When you decide to do it according to the adversary of God by force, by exercising authority one over the other, something Christ said you could not do if you were going to be a Christian, something all Christians, almost all Christians today, people professing to be Christians, do on a regular basis through men and exercise authority, because they use social welfare systems based on force. So the money and the deposits that go into that treasury is the mammon, the entrusted wealth of the people. It is the one purse idea, and the king rules over how those funds are distributed. It doesn't matter whether it's a king or Sanhedrin or Congress or whatever. That's your mammon. What makes it unrighteous is the fact that it is not built by free will offerings. It's built by force. And until John the Baptist, everybody in the world was establishing their systems, their governments, by force. They couldn't do it completely by force. They had to do it by consent. You had to consent to the idea that it was okay to force you to contribute. Once you consented, then they could force you to contribute. And the way they get you to consent to that, because you'd never, would you consent to the agreement that I can force you to give me any amount of money that I want? You're not going to sign that deal. But if I come to you and as a good salesman, like Warburg or somebody, and you come up and say, I tell you what, you give me the power to take money away from rich people and other people in your society that probably aren't giving enough anyway, so that you can have free education, free health care, etc., then I will agree to be your benefactor if you give me that exercising authority. And you say, yeah, well, that sounds great. Let's take away from other people. The problem is once you say it's okay to take away from other people, it's okay to take away from you. quid pro quo. The Romans understood that. Don't you understand that? So it's not going to be free. They're going to take away from you. And so that makes it unrighteous, because it's no longer, it's one purse, and that runs to evil according to the Bible. And it's going to be based on covetousness, because that's why you signed up, because you wanted the rich guy's stuff. I mean, you thought they were just going to take away from rich guys. But what happens is they take away from everybody, including you. And guess what? Because they're the ones in power, they get to keep a lot of it. Oh, yeah. And they keep a lot of it. And they have ways of getting it to their buddies. You know, and of course, that's exactly what God said was going to happen to you. So anyway, that's the system of welfare that you have become a part of. I mean, you're public. If you go to public school, you're in a welfare system. That's educational welfare. And it's based on the idea that you're going to force somebody else to pay for your child's education. And that's coveting. And so Peter says that's going to make you merchandise, which we would call human resources, which means you're going to be in debt, up to your ears in debt, you know, which is what I was talking about with the free education thing. It's why people in Norway are $131,220 in debt when they're born, and why people in Denmark are almost $30,000 in debt when they're born, and people in the United States, that little baby, cute little baby, look, he's so cute, he's $60,000 in debt, and it's going up, and you put him in debt. He's devoured in debt. So they're not graduating from school with savings in Denmark. Nope. They're graduating from school in debt, just like you. Whether you take out a student loan or not, if you're taking a freebie, you're borrowing from the future. And that's the way it works. And public education is a freebie. And you're taking it from men who exercise authority, one over the other. And that's the unrighteous mammon, the unrighteous entrusted wealth. And the ones who rule over that system are the God's many that Paul talks about. But Christians were doing something different. Christians were taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. They weren't going to the Roman public schools. There were actually Roman public schools. They weren't applying for Roman health care. There wasn't actual, for a while there was universal health care. They weren't applying for free bread. When they prayed for bread, they didn't pray down at the welfare office. They didn't apply for, you would call it an EBT card today. Back then it was called a tesserae. Now, a tesserae is a little coin made out of clay. Not gold or silver, but out of clay. Not iron coins, not an EBT plastic card, but just out of clay. And it was a tesserae. And if you had a tesserae, you could go get free bread. Or sometimes free wine, free cheese. Sometimes they just give away money. You know, eventually that decreased, the benefits decreased, and the need for them increased. But it was okay for the Christians because the Christians already had a much better system that was self-governing, dependent upon the fact that the people were all gathered together in family groups, and they would put 10 families in a congregation, and the heads of those families, which were elders, would pick a minister, and he would connect them with 9 other groups like themselves, and then those 10 ministers would pick a minister. This is the way governments from the Franks to the Gauls to the Teutons, all these guys knew how this worked. You've seen a few times early America did it, although you wouldn't even hear about it in your modern school books. That's all been taken out. And if you got in Common Core, you're not even, the guys who wrote Common Core didn't even know about that anymore. I mean, you're worried about Common Core. You've already got Common Curriculum. You've had it since 1908. They were plotting to do this. It's just now getting so obvious. And you're shaking your fist, but you got to put on the whole armor. You have to be as concerned about education, diet, you know, whole milk, it's under attack, GMOs. You have to all these things. So are you going to start political action committees and all these things? Or are you going to start gathering your own seeds and growing your own gardens and growing your own food and creating a network? This is how Israel worked, a network. This is how early Rome worked, network. They call them hearths. You have to do that. And it takes some discipline, some personal discipline. We have a meeting going on in Missouri today, people from all over. I talked to some of them, but I don't know where everybody's from. I know there's some from, you know, Illinois and Texas, and there are supposed to be people coming from all over. I don't know how many people actually showed up. But they're putting together what we call a sacred purpose trust, which doesn't empower some man to rule over you. It empowers you to be a trustee. And the money that's in that trusteeship is mammon. It's all free will offering, so it's the righteous mammon. And that's the way it works. And we're empowering the individuals to make their choices and care for one another. And we've been training people up on how this works. And it can work for you today. But the real value, I mean, we have the technical legal expertise to make it happen, but the real value is that unselfish people have to come together and actually start daily caring about one another as much as they care about themselves in all aspects of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Because that's the only way you're going to become the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. You're not going, I mean, they can't even, I won't mention names. I mean, some of the people they have in government here in the United States, I can go up to Canada or other places. It's astounding. Such immoral reprobates. And they keep getting elected year after year after year because you've given the power to vote to orcs and goblins, to insane people. And you're outnumbered. And they're not repentant. They're not going to change back. They're not going back to the ways of righteousness. They don't want to. It's your job to find the lost sheep of Christ and go back there. Because that's, you know, we show you also, if you go back to the golden calf, that's what that was, is a central bank. It was mammon. They took their wealth and put it into one purse. This is what people have done from the beginning. You could go to city-states like Athens or numerous other city-states, and they had these golden statues. They called them, in the Greek, the reserve fund. They also had coins in a vault somewhere, but you could, you know, you'd have to go in every day and count it to make sure somebody hadn't taken it out, and then who are you going to trust to count it? But if you had this big statue up there, then you can say, hey, one of the horns are missing on the calf. Somebody robbed the bank. You know, you have to get up there. So it was a way of keeping it protected. And people couldn't just rob and steal it and carry it off because it weighed so much. It'd take a while to disassemble it. And supposedly everybody's going to be fighting there to protect it because this is all our wealth. But Moses said, no, that will destroy your society. Just like Saul was told, because he forced an offering, it would destroy their society. You know, the word in that quote that we read at the beginning, and it talks about everlasting habitations. The word habitations there in the Greek is not translated habitation anywhere else in the Greek. That's not what it means. It means tabernacle. And that word for tabernacle has to do not with some superstitious ritual tent where people are burning incense and doing a bunch of mumbo jumbo and singing away like God needs our entertainment, or God's so insecure that he needs our praise. Everything God does is practical. And the system he was setting up through Moses was a practical system of social welfare based on faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. All the commandments, taking care of your parents, fattening, that's what it means to honor your father and your mother, to fatten them. Why? Because that's the first line of defense of social welfare of your community. You want to get married, you ask permission of your dad, and your dad gives permission. You get married under the canopy coverage of your family. It's a frank marriage, but what happens if you die, get sick, and now you need help taking care of your kids? Well, my grandkids are in the next room. I mean, their parents are over there working, and their grandmother is helping watch them and taking care of them. And we're providing a service because we're there for them. But they're also hopefully there for us so that both of our days will be long upon the land. That's what that commandment's about. Very practical commandment, Sabbath. Work 6 days and then take your day of rest. Earn your keep. Don't go into debt. Don't make covenants with other men and make them gods over your life. Don't make contracts, covenants, or constitutions. You think the Constitution is of God? Well, read our book, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. After you read the book, you tell me where that's wrong. You should be able to tell. I can't get a viable argument out of anybody on it. The Constitution is actually the instrument of your bondage, but it isn't the spirit of your bondage. The spirit of your bondage is the fact that you're guaranteed the power to contract in the Constitution. You know, the five things that are mentioned in the Bible that you were to put in a constitution if you want to have a ruler who can exercise authority, only one of them is in the constitution. And that is that he wasn't to be a foreigner. He had to be one of you. So, shows you what that's the only one they put in of the five. Want to know all five? Go read the book Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. And it actually states it in Deuteronomy. But anyway, evidently they didn't read that. It was a mistake. And I think the world of those guys back then. I think they were a great guy. I'd like to have most of them as my neighbor. Maybe not Hamilton, but the rest of them were pretty good. But anyway, I could even put up with Hamilton, although he'd get an earful from me. Anyway, so Jesus mentions this mammon once in Matthew and three times in Luke. And it's this entrusted wealth where you cast your bread upon the waters. You entrust somebody else. You give something away to somebody else to provide for society and the needs of society, the daily ministration. It has to be a free will offering if it's going to be the righteous mammon. If it's done by force, and force in the sense of you've agreed to a contract giving them the power to force you to contribute, then it's not righteous. It's going to make the word of God to none effect, which is what Jesus was saying about their Corban, their treasury. And he explained so much about how it works. And it really takes a certain amount of time and energy on the part of everybody. And if you won't take that time and energy, then you won't be free. That's it. That's period. Freedom is not free. Public school is not free. Public health care is not free. There is no free lunch. In the article that I just put up on this free lunch idea, I think I said, just remember before you accept a free ride, make sure they are taking you to the place you want to go. And the fact is they're taking you deeper and deeper into debt. And debt is bondage. So anyway, we got lots of articles that we put up this week on free education, on mammon, on eternal life, on doers of the word. And it's all at preparingyou.com, preparingyou.com. And we're having meetings on a regular basis. More and more people are learning how this works. And they're needing to form congregations of record so that you can actually form that network of tens, hundreds, and thousands. And it's all based on volunteerism. You know, all our books are given away for free if you can download them on the internet. Fact is I also know that there's many people in the network, you know, who buy books and give them out, you know, hard copies even. But this is what it's about, is individuals helping one another. And you don't really need the books. You need to simply learn to care about one another. The books just kind of, you know, scrape all the barnacles off the bottom of your boat that you picked up by sailing away in a welfare state for the last 50 to 60 to 100 years. And we sand her down and wax her up so that you can sail more smoothly. But mostly you got to unload some unneeded ballast and ideas that are in your head and start doing what the ancients did to be free societies. And start developing that righteous mammon to faith, hope, and charity by loving one another as Christ actually preached and not pretending that you're Christians. One of the things, and we're really out of time, one of the things I'm just astounded at the number of people that saw this free education in Norway, Denmark. They said, oh boy, that's really good. But they didn't think, well, it's not free. Somebody's got to pay for it. And we got to start thinking in those terms. But we'll have to think about that more during the week because we're out of time today. And so until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 877-207-9640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.